Bibles tonight to 2 Corinthians chapter 7, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 9, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 9. Now I rejoice not that you were made sorry, but that you sorrowed to repentance. Paul wrote them a letter, verse 8, for though I made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent, though I did repent, for I perceive that the same epistle hath made you sorry, though it were but for a season. Now rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that you sorrowed to repentance. For you were made sorry after a godly manner, that you might receive damage by us in nothing. Verse 10, here's the verse. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but sorrow of the world worketh death. I had a phone conversation with a fellow today, and it has to do with a sin in his life, and we're going to visit later in the week about how to deal with it. And so I started making all these notes, lots of like 4 pages of notes of things concerning our conversation coming up. And then in the process of doing that, had a couple of conversations with Randy about one aspect of what he's going to have to deal with, what you have to deal with when you're confronting sin in your life. And it brought to mind this passage of Scripture. So prayerfully consider that what you're going to hear tonight from this passage of Scripture, based upon the conversation we had earlier today, is timely for this particular subject in your life. So before we go any further, let's have a word of prayer and make sure that we're following the leadership of the Holy Spirit in what we're doing in here tonight. Rick Sowell, would you pray for us, please? Amen. 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 The title of this sermon tonight is Remorse or Repentance? Remorse or repentance. Notice he says here, godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation. That's repentance. Not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. That's remorse. And everybody in this room understands remorse. You've experienced it. Remorse, by definition, is a gnawing distress. Gnawing, G-N-A-W-I-N-G. A gnawing distress arising from a sense of guilt for past wrongs. It is self-reproach. And everybody here has experienced it at some point in your life. When you do something wrong as a child, and you know you're going to get punished for it, you come in with a sense of remorse, and then you go away and think, why did I do that? And you have this sense of self-reproach. And when you get older and you start dealing with sin in your life, if you only deal with sin through remorse, the sorrow that you have for what you've done, then you are only going to fight the sin in your life because you feel bad for committing it and because you know that you shouldn't be doing it. And if you only fight sin in your life because you feel bad for committing it, and if you only fight sin in your life because you know you shouldn't be doing it, you're dealing with remorse. You are on what we've described before as a merry-go-round. You are on a merry-go-round, and consequently, you never find any, you don't stop. You don't stop. You keep committing that sin again at some point. And the road you're on is a dead end because it has no end. It just goes round and round. And what happens if you keep going around and round with that sin, you end up feeling so bad that you want to kill yourself or destroy that part of your body that is involved in that sin. If you're a gossip, you want to cut your tongue out. If you can't control your eyes, you want to pluck your eyes out. It's destructive. And that's why he says, the sorrow of the world worketh death. Let me give you a great example. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 27 and look at verse 3. This is a perfect example of remorse. Matthew chapter 27, look at verse 3. 3 through 5. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, that is Jesus Christ, when he saw that he, that is Jesus Christ, was condemned, repented himself. This is the sorrow of the world. He repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned. Remorse is an acknowledgement of the sin. But it's a desire to undo it or stop it because you know that's what you ought to do or you feel bad for what you've done. He says, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what's that to us? See thou to it. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed. You say, well, how do you know it was remorse? And went and hanged himself. See, the sorrow of the world worketh death. You'll find people who get so strung out about their condition with drugs, or so strung out about their condition with uncontrolled lust, or so strung out about their remorse over things that they've done in the past that finally they take their lives. And you think, well, that's shocking. It is shocking. But that's as far as remorse can take you. And you never get off of the merry-go-round. The sin doesn't stop. Repentance, on the other hand, as you've heard before, is simply a change of mind. And repentance, as we see it in this context, is a change of mind that leads to a change of heart that leads to a change of direction. In other words, it is effective. And what happens is, you're on this merry-go-round, and instead of saying, I know I ought to quit this, and I sure feel bad for what I'm doing, you finally get off the merry-go-round and you say, I'm not going to do this anymore. I don't know how I'm not going to do this anymore, but I'm not going to do this anymore. I've had enough. It's a change of mind that leads to a change of heart that leads to a change of direction. Look with me in Acts chapter 26. Paul preached what you just heard. In Acts chapter 26, verse 20, Paul is giving his testimony. He talks about his preaching after his salvation. And in Acts chapter 26, verse 20, he says, but showed first unto them of Damascus, and at Jerusalem, and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, watch it, that they should repent, there's your change of mind, and turn to God, there is your change of heart, and do works meet for repentance, and there's your change of direction. I'm doing something different now than I was doing before. The works that I'm doing that are meet for repentance are works that match the repentance. If your child comes to you and you say, Mom, I'm so sorry I threw that egg at the house. I promise I'll never do it again. And then you whip them and you ground them, and then next week they throw the egg back out of the house again. That was remorse. But if they say to you, oh, I can't believe I did that. I'm never doing that again. And you whip them and you punish them, and then they are grounded and they never do it again. It doesn't make any difference to you whether they cried during their punishment or not. You don't care how remorseful they were. They're not doing it anymore, and that was the whole purpose. That's repentance. Whereas on the merry-go-round you say, I feel so bad for committing this, and I know I shouldn't be doing it. In repentance you say, I'm going to quit this sin because I have decided that I don't want to do it anymore. Now, I don't know how I'm going to accomplish this, but I guarantee you, that's not something that... Sin is not an option anymore. I'm taking that off the table. I quit. And let me tell you something. That is exactly where God wants you to get. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. That is exactly where the Lord wants you to be. He doesn't care whether you're sad about it or not. Doesn't make any difference how much you droop your face and how many tears you cry and how much you beat your chest and make promises to God and all that other craziness that you've been through before and all those. He doesn't make any difference how many apologies you've said. He wants you to stop. So in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, you know that it's His will because He says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Do you see that God is willing to put up with you for a long, long time? His promise is that He is willing that you come to a place of repentance. So if you're here tonight and alive, I believe everybody here is, and you are, have been dealing in this area of your life unsuccessfully, God is still long-suffering with you, and He is still willing that you come to repentance. He has made everything you're going to see here in a minute available to you, even up to this day. In other words, you haven't burned your bridge with God. There are some things when you get off the merry-go-round that He has for you that are available to you, and He is long-suffering enough to give those to you tonight if you'll quit being remorseful and start being repentant. When you come to repentance, here are the things that happen. Number one, you get saved from that sin. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10, which is our text. You know, thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. All right, well, He says, for godly sorrow, in verse 10, godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. All right, now the guys that He was writing this to are already saved. So He's not talking about godly sorrow that worketh repentance to salvation in that you were lost and now you got saved. However, may I say this, if you are lost and you repent and get saved, obviously this fits. But this also fits for folks who are saved but who are stuck in a sin. He will save you from that sin. That's His name. Let me give you an example. Keep your finger where you are so you understand the use of the word salvation in the context of being saved from something other than from being saved from hell. Turn to Philippians. Keep your finger where you are, but turn to Philippians chapter 1 and notice what Paul said in verse 19. Paul's been talking about people preaching sincerely and some contentiously or out of strife. And notice what he says in verse 19. I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. He was locked up. And so he says, I know this shall turn to my salvation. Do you think Paul was worried about getting saved here? No, he was locked up and he wanted to be freed from the prison. And he said, I know this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. So here in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10, you've got a church of people that Paul had written a letter to that needed to repent. And they did. The people were already saved, but it turned to their salvation from the problem that they were dealing with. In this case, there was a young man in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 that was committing fornication with his father's wife. And Paul said, I'm going to turn that dude over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, and you all guys are going to do that with me. That guy repented, and the church repented and received him back into the fellowship, and they were saved from the effect of that sin. It had a leavening effect on the congregation, and it was destroying the young man's life. So when you finally get off the merry-go-round and step off and say, that's it, I'm done, I repent, and it's real repentance, then God is there to save you from that sin. Secondly, when you come to repentance, not only do you get saved from the sin, you recover yourself from the snare. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 24, we're working down to verse 26, but we're going to start in verse 24 for the context. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 24 says, the servant of the Lord must not strive. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. Now watch it. If God peradventure will give them, what's the next word? Repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. You know, when you're stuck in sin like this, you're ensnared by the devil. And the only way out of that thing is repentance. This merry-go-round that you find yourself on is the snare. And repentance is what, and that repentance here is a repentance whereby you acknowledge the truth that is in this scripture. And by acknowledging the truth that's in this scripture, you recover yourself out of the snare of the devil. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. When I think of that word make free, and I think of this merry-go-round, if you're set free, you can always get back on. When you're made free, you don't want any more of that merry-go-round. You ain't getting back on that merry-go-round. This was not a temporary detour or a reprieve. We're off and out. But it comes from acknowledging the truth. And the beauty of it is, listen, this is the way out, because in the truth of the Bible, you actually end up calling the sin that you're committing by its biblical name. You are acknowledging that the thing you're involved in is not a weakness, it's not a disease, it's not a fault, it's not my personality, it's not the way I was made, it's not my parents' fault. It is my fault, and it is sin, and God is against it, and I'm against God in that sin. And I'm acknowledging the truth of it, and I don't want to be that sinner anymore. I'm done. And the Lord, and if the Lord gives you the, as he says here, gives them the repentance, if the Lord peradventure gives you the repentance in the acknowledging of that truth, you can take yourself right off that merry-go-round and say, sayonara, buddy, I am done with you. That's it. Now, you have to be careful there, though, because every day you live, you're tempted with something. And that thing still run around. There's still people on the merry-go-round who just got on that are having a whale of a good time. They hadn't been on it as long as you have. You got on it so long you were sick to your stomach. They just got on and it's, woo-hoo, new ride. And you're tempted by all that. And so this recovery of the snare of the devil, you must also recognize that you could, if you chose, you could get back on the merry-go-round. As sick as you feel, you really don't want to. As much as you've repented, you're done with it. But it's there. It's there. And so you need one more, you need another thing. You need another thing. Turn to Acts chapter 20. You need another thing. Acts chapter 20. When Paul preached, he preached repentance toward God. But notice, it wasn't the complete message. Acts chapter 20, verse 21, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, watch it, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. When you come to repentance, then you get saved from the sin, you recover yourself from the snare, and you receive faith for victorious living. Because you're not going to be able to do this victorious living without the faith of Christ. And so you repent toward God, and then you have faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. That is, you are now believing Jesus Christ and His Word for the faith to stay away from what used to hold you. You say, really? Yeah. Look in 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. And look at verse 4. Some people get the idea, I have been delivered from this, I'll never go back. And in context of repentance, you are delivered by your continual faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You are victorious in faith. Watch, 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. That's your victorious living. So what happens is you get up in the morning or whatever time of day works for your Bible reading, works for your prayer. You get fellowship with Jesus Christ. You, like Paul, you die daily. You willingly take your place on the cross. You get in here. You get your faith strengthened. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You have fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and then you begin to walk in faith. Not by sight. We walk by faith, not by sight. You walk in faith. And as you walk in faith, then you walk in victory. But all of that comes from repentance. If you don't, you come to church all you want to and keep committing the same old sin, and you go home just feeling bad. Oh, the preacher really beat me up about that. I feel so bad. And there you are again. And the trouble is, you have never come to a place of repentance. If you do, when you do, and the Lord wants you to, He's got these assets here for you, these repentance assets. He'll save you from the sin. He'll recover you. He'll allow you to recover yourself from the devil. And then he will give you faith for victorious living every day. And that's how you're going to have to do it, is by faith. Now, once you're saved and in the truth of God's words and in faith with Jesus Christ, you're going to find two things additionally that he will give you. Romans chapter 5. Two things additionally that he will give you. One is he will give you abundance of grace. All right? In Romans chapter 5, look at verse 20. All the way down to chapter 6, verse 1. Watch it. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but wait, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, that's what it used to do to you, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin? There's your merry-go-round. That grace may abound? God forbid. God forbid. So he says, you want an abundance of grace? Grace abounds where, grace much more abounds where sin abounds, but you don't continue in sin to get that grace. You repent and let grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ. And that grace, once that grace reigns, it dethrones sin where it reigned. You say, man, that sin in my life, you preacher, you don't understand. It's really got me. Yeah, I do. The Bible says it's raining. So you go through repentance and the three things God gives you, and then suddenly grace reigns and sin is down, and it's not more abundant than the grace that abounds. But you don't continue in sin to get it. God forbid that you should do that. Okay? So you get an abundance of grace, and because God makes that available to you, He allows that grace to now sit on the throne of your life and rule your life. And then He gives you one other thing, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. At least He gives you one other thing in this lesson. The more we learn, the more things we get to know about all this. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Here's the next thing. Here we are, look. He saved you from the sin. Okay, you used to be a drunk. Now He saved you from that. You acknowledged the truth and said, you know what, I was nothing but an old drunkard, but now I'm a new creature in Christ. So you get your foot out of that snare, and now you're not snared by the devil. Now you're walking in faith of Jesus Christ, and grace is reigning in your life. And your best friend calls at a time of your deepest grief and says, well, why don't we go get something to drink? Now what am I going to do? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, there's no temptation taking you but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will, with the temptation, also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. And you're going through that like that, and you go, Lord, this is not a good situation here. And He says, you know what? Go through this little door right here, and you don't have to worry about that. And you walk right into the way of escape, and you stay away from that sin. Now notice, in the context of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, notice what you have here in verse 5. Paul is using the example of things that happened in the Old Testament to teach the Corinthians. With many of them, that is, those that were walking in the wilderness with Moses, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, these things were our examples to the intent, number one, we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Number two, neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, rose up to play. Number three, neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day, 3,000 and 20,000. Number four, neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Whatever the number is, 5 or 6, whatever I'm on. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for examples that are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh standeth take heed lest he fall. See, there's the problem. You're saying, man, I got all that stuff. I knocked that out. Man, that idolatry's gone. That lust is gone. Now I'm standing here, and that's when he's going to come knock you down. He says, be careful about that. Continue to walk in faith. Continue to let grace reign. Keep your foot out of the snare by acknowledging the truth, and remember repentance. And then he gives us verse 13. He'll make a way to escape. Verse 14, wherefore, my dearly beloved, what does he say? Hightail it. That's what he says. Hightail it. Flee from idolatry. Get out of there. Get out of there. You know, there are so many ways that you continue to tempt yourself with the sin that holds you. If a person, you know, we could start going through the list of sins, but you know what he's saying here? He's saying here, separate yourself from those things that get you. Get rid of the stuff. Get rid of the friends. Don't go to the locations. Quit looking at the stuff. Whatever it is, just go. Repent. He'll save you from the sin. You can recover yourself from the snare. You receive the faith then for victorious living. Grace will reign and God will make a way of escape. And it all hinges on repentance. Heavenly Father, thank you tonight for instruction from the words of God. We pray, Heavenly Father, that these will be very profitable for us. We ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.